underestimate for a minute the value of those that heritage as I reflect on my dad and the legacy that he left behind and the parents grew up. It matters what situations we lived or what hardship they faced. They left something behind that is carrying over to this very day. And we feel respect. So that just what's a sobering reminder to me and to you, brothers, of that 25 years go by really quickly. 30 years go by really fast. 40 and 50, we wake up and realize our children are grown. We're great. We're, they're at marriage age, and, grandpas are next, and, it's coming on you, and you start realizing it. The time is now, it used to be like this, and now we're pushing towards the window. It's closing. And that's why I urge the dads, bless you, I want to challenge you that we have no idea how she or in doing this. Evan, as a dad, as a pastor, and as a husband, sometimes we, and I've been one of those people that want to reach countless people, many people for Christ, want to advance His kingdom and His agenda, but do we realize that right under our noses, there is a people whose lives and future we can shape daily by our walk, by our talk, by our choices, by our actions, and by our decisions. That we influence them in a way that impacts 25, 30, and 40 years down the road. And so I want to read a psalm here again as the text of this this message here. Psalm 78. Turn with me there as we read what the psalmist read. And remember, Psalm 78 is a psalm where the psalmist lamented of the stubbornness of the children of Israel and how many times they tempted God and tested God and grieved God and just kept God from fulfilling the wonderful promises that He wanted to with them. So let's read the first 8 verses here. I'm going to read them. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. And that takes a renewed mind to see that. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Verse 8, that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He gives the example here, the amazing reminder of the generational impact that dads have. And just yesterday I read a news article came up on Fox News. The crisis. The crisis of America. is the lack of fathers. Anyone can father a baby, but it takes a dad to raise a child. To raise a child and a young person and a generation that will leave a legacy in this world. And we, as the role that we have, yes, there might be some cases where we might be shackled to our past. There might be some cases where people use excuses from their upbringing and their bad experiences. And but just one of the sisters yesterday shared that short message from I don't know what his name is, but it's from Courageous from 10, 15 years ago. And what he said at the end, "No, I will," goes back, no matter what has happened in my past, no matter what has curveballs life has thrown at us, no matter how many bad experiences we've had and how many excuses there seem to be there, we as dads will say, I will stand in the gap. I will be rise up and raise my family. I will protect them, and I will be accountable before God for as much as I know. Of course, at the end of the day, our children need to make a choice. But I believe their influence that they get from their parents, especially their dads, goes a long, long way. The generation to succeed, for a generation to succeed, fatherhood cannot be underestimated. And when I look back at my years of a dad, I wanted to be the perfect dad. I wanted to do everything right with my children. And that carries with it its own baggage, of course. And those of you who've wanted to raise those picture-perfect children can identify with that sometimes we can do more harm than good. But when our heart is right, God will compensate. God will come on the scene, and whether through other brothers, whether through the church, the community, whether through life circumstances, He will honor you for your heart. And if you have invested your heart into the cause and have caused it to and want it to be the most important, one of the most important things in your life, God will come on the scene and He will honor you. And will bring about a change in your children that is more than you ever dreamed of. Is far better than you could ever wish and hope for. And that is what really humbles me. That is, without God, this would not have been possible. Without God, I'd be a failure. Without God and without church, our best would not have been good enough. And so I thank God for the goodness that He's shown me when I look at my family. I thank God for the goodness that He's shown this church and our brothers and sisters. But we have a whole swath of young people that are looking up to us right now. And that are wondering what's next. And that are wondering where we dads are going to take this next generation. And so that sobers me up. That helps me realize there's work to be done. That helps me realize we have to press forward. We can't sit on what we have accomplished. We can't hope that just because God has honored us and given us many blessings and made available for us a stable church environment for our children, and for our brotherhood and the ability for families to be able to be there for their children they don't have to be out on a truck 7 days a week, or they don't have to be overseas somewhere on 6 month missions I'm talking of military missions, not church missions. Church missions, you take your family with you. But you don't have to be away from your family. You got an opportunity, and that should give us an amazing, it should not only fill us with gratitude, but it should make us want to do even more to help make a change and make and shape the future for our children as they grow and raise their own families. So the family is God's perfect plan. The family is the glory of Christ. The Western civilization has done the exact opposite. They put a premium on beauty and frivolity and marginalized family. They put a premium on pleasure. They put a premium on riches and money and stuff, and have generally looked down on the family and on the because of all the things that come with family. You know, there's family is responsibility. It's children. It's discomfort. It's long nights. It's mess. It's pampers. It's expenses. It's they take away our freedoms, they say, and there's so much that and society has looked down on it. And now what do we have in the West? An absolute travesty. May God protect us. May God protect us from this. And may we uphold those incredible standards that the Bible has for the dads and for families. And our families are like everything else. If you want a return on your investment, you need to invest. If you want something, if you want your operation, your business, or your livestock, or whatever to produce, you have to invest. You have to put in. You need to expend energy and time, input, and then the rewards come later. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 15, sometimes it's 25 years later. But the brothers and sisters, like it or not, our children's concept of God is shaped by us. That puts an extra level of responsibility on our shoulders. We shape, maybe not when they're teenagers. I think by then we've pretty much it's all settled. But little children, 2, 3, 4, 5, and up to 10, their concept of God is shaped by us. And so that sometimes may need a real adjustment, because being a man of God doesn't guarantee that you're going to be a good dad. Did you hear that? Being a man of God does not guarantee that we'll be good dads. We hear in the Bible of many dads who were men of God. 1 Samuel 8, 1-5, we read of one dad. And it says, 1 Samuel 8, in his old age, Samuel appointed his sons as judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abijah. And they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. Instead, they made money dishonestly, accepted bribes, and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and approached Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. So now appoint over us a king and lead us, just like all the other nations have." Samuel, man of God, prophet of God, the judge of Israel. It is written, I think in the previous chapter, a few chapters before, that Samuel would take his yearly rounds visiting the churches, I guess, judging Israel or visiting people. And as a result, Samuel missed out on his parent, on his father role. And boy, that's one thing no dad wants to see. And so that's another important reminder. So what is our role as a father? I've put together, I'm going to go fast through them, and I hope some of the brothers can share a few things. What is a role? What is a true father according to the scriptures? What is a true father? Well, number one, he is a protector. He is a protector of his home, of his wife, of his children. That is a role that he has to not only protect against. Back in the olden days, you know, if the father built a house, he built the fort. That's in men, and you see it in boys. They want, you know, what the boys want to build forts, and they want to have guns and shoot and bows and arrows. And what's that for? That's built in them to hunt and provide and protect. That's kind of men have taken it to the extreme now, and all they want to do is have fun. But that's kind of the inbuilt thing to provide, protect his family, protect his home from the enemy, from evil influence, to stand up in adversity, to exhibit authority there, and have this stability that his family can lean on. Number two, the dads, we are not only a protector, we also a provider. Now there again, here in our community, it's more of a bigger picture, but we dads, it does not lessen or dampen our role as providers. We are responsible as men to provide for our families. What? Not just food and drink. Not just a house over our heads. Not just a roof over our heads. Not just a bed. Not just clothing. But we need to provide wisdom to our children. We need to provide friendship to our children. We need to provide counsel to our children. We need to provide correction to our children. And we need to try to find that balance. Of course, there's the beautiful father story in Luke 15. We know what it is. When the prodigal son finally came to his senses, he got up and went to his father, but while he was a long way off from home, his father saw him, and his heart went out to him, and he ran out and hugged his son and kissed him. To see a wayward son coming back to intercede for them, to provide strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, Paul also says, look, for the third time I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be a burden to you, because I do not want your possessions, but you. For children should not have to save up for their parents, but the parents for their children. That's where the generational influence comes. Not just in material, in spiritual. Number three, we dads, we're a coach. If they listen. Coaches are there to train. What are coaches' job? To train, to get the very best out of the very best production, the very best to bring out and to look at the greater picture and make teams their team win their team, and to do that there has to be discipline. There has to be structure. There has to be order. There needs to be some laws. There's rules to the game. You change any game and you break one rule, and everybody just goes berserk. And if a rule is broken, say in a ball game, a hockey game, and one team gets away with murder, and the other team gets penalized for every little time a rule is broken, you just feel the animosity of the hypocrisy when rules are not kept. And just like it says in Titus, he must compete by the rules. What is our job as coaches? We teach our children, number one, to honor authority. Dads, we teach our children to honor authority. And the Bible does not tell us whether it's good authority or bad authority. Whether it doesn't tell us whether the authority is noble or ignoble. It doesn't tell us if the authority is for you or against you. The Bible tells us to honor authority. And a child that learns that at a young age, God will not put such a child under horrible authority. God will honor and bless children like that. Children, when people dishonor God-ordained authority, the wheel and the harvest comes around. And it usually takes 15 to 25 years. And I've seen people, and I know of people, who despised parental authority, despised church authority, but then turned around and subjected themselves to an absolute disgraceful authority. Cult-like authority. I've seen it. So we train them to honor authority. We train them to serve, to become valuable members in society. We try to train them to do the life skills. Clean up after yourselves. Make your beds. Put your shoes away. Help in the house. Do those little things. Well, we dads have to do that ourselves first. We dads have to model it, and then we can train it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. He trains, a dad trains, he loves, he disciplines, he corrects, and he cheers his children on. Laughs with them and weeps with them. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the fear and the discipline of the Lord. Number four, we're priests and prophets. Priests and prophets. And what do priests and prophets do? They intercede for their children. They pray for their wives and their children. And there's not to say the wife doesn't have. I think the wife sometimes has more authority in prayer than the dad has. But prayer is a key to helping our next generation reach their potential. We need to intercede for them. We need to be the prophet to say this is wrong and that is right. Here's what God's word says, and here's what you think it says. We have to provide that prophetic word that brings stability and structure to every family. Number five, we are role models, and that is the biggest one. That's the one I know that we have to really be on guard for. We are role models that influence their behavior. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk as you have for an example. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says again, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He was not afraid to say it. He was not afraid, Paul was not afraid to say, follow me. Brothers, we can't ever be afraid to say that to our children. Our lives, we want to walk in such a way that we can easily and boldly say to our children, follow me, because I am following Christ. And so how do we model that? What do they see in us? Do they see us as God's, first of all, do they see that we have God's word is the absolute and final authority in our lives? Not our feelings, not groupthink, not the fear of man, and not all that, but God's word is the absolute and final authority in our lives. They need to watch that. We can't tell them that. They see it in us. The way we handle our wives, the way we talk with our wives, the way we enter with them, and through that we see that. And so, what do they need to see? As broken dads, they need to see us take responsibility at times and say, "I'm sorry, I messed up. I was bad there. I blew a gasket. I had the engine overheated today, and boy, that's such a poor testimony of Christ. And I'm sorry. I want to try better." Do they observe us trusting God? Do we take ownership when we mess up? Do we admit our errors? Do we say we're sorry? Or do we defend, blame, and excuse? Do we badmouth other people in their presence? Dads, don't do that, ever. Do we submit ourselves? Do we help in the house? Are we loyal to our church and faithful to our responsibilities? And then finally, and those phones. Dads, I think we need to set up an accountability with us, with ourselves. I think I'm the first to admit I'm struggling. Keeping that thing to less than an hour a day. And we need to do something. This thing that will not help us one bit when Jesus comes. This device will help us absolutely zero when Jesus returns. It will help us absolutely zero when we in helping them shape their future and establishing a value system in them. Number six, we're anchors for our families. 1 Timothy 3:4. This is talking of elders, but brothers and sisters, every man is an elder in his home. We are. He says in 1 Timothy 3:4, he must manage his household well and keep his children in control without losing his dignity. There's hardly anything more pathetic than a man who's not stable in what he believes, where he stands, and where the line is. If a dad is one day saying this, the next day saying that. If a dad has this dream one day and that dream the next day. If a dad has this aspiration today or this theory or this idea and the other one the next day. Or he believes this today and then he goes directly against it the next day. That is influencing. And it will have far-reaching effects. We need to be stable. Be an anchor for our families. And finally, we need to be the visionaries to see where we want to go, and where we want to take our children, where we want to take the church, and where the church needs to go. That takes vision beyond here and now. It takes us to see what will become of my children. What do I want to see for them? Where do I want to see this church go? How do I want them to grow up? What do I want them to become? That takes a visionary. And I know I am a visionary, but that still doesn't do the groundwork. Visionaries are good, but we still need to plant the crops and hoe the garden and do the daily things. That's life. And I want to thank the family here. There's a lot of brothers and sisters in this church that are a very good influence on my family, and I guess it's always mutual. It's just vice versa, back and forth, and it's that way when God's people pursue God's kingdom, that happens. We fill each other's gaps. We have gaps. We have lapses because we're human. And it helps fill in those vacancies or whatever, that the patchwork that we ourselves are. And we should always be thankful for that and embrace that. So that's our vision. So what are we? We are, read them down here again. We are a protector. We are a provider. We are a coach. We're priests and prophets. We are role models. We are an anchor for our families. And we're visionaries. Pretty good. That's a high, lofty calling, dads. And so we believe that, I'm going to say with King David, as a father, I once was young. And I'm not old yet, but I'm getting older. And I have never seen the godly abandoned, nor their children forced to search for food. We have an amazing God that has provided. He has been good to us in spite of the challenges we faced. So, my word to the dads, stick to it. Stick with the game plan. If we see something's not working, change it. Over and over and over. Even if we feel our influence and what we're trying to accomplish with them is not being noticed by them, it's not being they don't regard it, we have a promise from God's word, and that says your labor of love is not in vain. God bless you, dads.